Welcome to the Science Podcast. It's February 15th, 2013. I'm Carrie Klein, and this is a special podcast from the AAAS annual meeting in Boston. Car accidents, birth defects, and combat injuries can all require oral reconstruction. And much like the skin must be treated very carefully following injuries like burns, the lining of the mouth, or the oral mucosa, is challenging to reproduce in the time frame and quantity required to properly heal. After attending a session about new approaches for oral and facial reconstruction, I caught up with Steven Feinberg, a professor of surgery, about his advancing research in reproducing the oral mucosa and other challenging parts of the body.
My basic areas as an oral and maxillofacial surgeon, I'm interested in reconstructive surgery to build body parts in the laboratory to help reconstruct faces. And also, they may have efficacy in other parts of the body as well, the technology that I'm trying to use.
And in particular, you're interested in the inside of the mouth?
Yes and no. A lot of our work has focused inside the mouth. We started that because everybody seemed to have ignored it to a certain extent. No one looks in it. It's wet, dirty, full of bacteria. And so because the mouth is limited in the amount of tissue you can have, if it's destroyed or broken down, there's very little that you can get to replace it. And so what we did is we developed a technique to take a punch biopsy from the top of your mouth, the palate, and we can actually amplify, expand it in a laboratory into larger segments of tissue that eventually can be used to reconstruct larger injuries like battlefield injuries. It's also a precursor, like I mentioned in the press conference, that my aspirations are more global. So we're bringing the oral mucosa into the clinic through our multiple clinical trials and using that as a stepping stone to bring in more complex composite facial units that we're going to want to reconstruct.
Okay, so let's take a step back just a little bit and first tell me, what is a punch biopsy?
It's a circular piece of tissue that's taken from the top of the mouth with a punch. 5-millimeter diameter sized piece of tissue.
And so you take a punch biopsy and you're able to actually grow a cell line in the lab using that?
We don't grow cell lines. That's just it. Cell line is a misnomer because a cell line is something you purchase that's been adapted to culture. Our work entails only using primary human cells, which means we take the tissue directly from the individual, dissociate it, and then culture it. And then we use it within a relatively short period of time so that it's as close to what we've taken out of the body and doesn't go through the adaptation process of a culturing system.
So how common is reconstructive surgery, particularly in the interior of the mouth, and what kinds of situations would necessitate it?
The most obvious would be traumatic. That would be in some way create a destructive process of bulged tissue. That can happen also from battlefield injuries as well. Oncology, where we do cancer resections. And then we have to come back and actually put the individual back into a functional state, which will require bone as well as soft tissue.
And what have been sort of the more conventional techniques for these kinds of surgeries, and what are their limitations?
Well, what we've used previously when we needed oral mucosa and we couldn't get enough of it from the mouth is we use split-thickness skin grafts. And the problems with split-thickness skin grafts is the keratin or the cornification layer, callus layer, is very different than the mouth. And if you come to my lecture this afternoon, you'll be able to see how it looks. It looks quite different than the oral mucosa. Also, if the skin graft is too thick, it can contain adnexial structures, things like hair follicles, sebaceous glands, and so you can actually have a mouth with hair growing in it.
So tell me, what exactly are oral mucosa?
Oral mucosa is the tissue that lines the inside of your mouth. Depending on where you take it, it can have different characteristics. The top of your mouth and around your teeth is called masticatory, or highly keratinized. It's there to take brunts of force. Whenever you're eating, it'll pound against it, so it's developed a callus on it. The other most obvious area is the inside of your cheek or inside of your lips. It's more supple, and that's non-keratinized or buccal mucosa. The last type of one is a specialized one, is your tongue.
So obviously you wouldn't want hair growing on any of those.
Not really.
How does this technique overcome the limitations of many of these other more conventional techniques?
Well, you can't get enough tissue. If the mouth is injured or been resected, there isn't a lot of tissue to get from. There are very few sites that you can get this. So you have to replace it, not with like tissue. Ideally, when you reconstruct somebody, you want to replace it with like tissue. In this case, you don't, which is why people go to skin in a lot of ways. When you get into more complex structures like the lips that we're looking at, that's even more difficult. And so not only when you transpose the tissues from other parts of the body, they don't look like a set of lips. They don't function like a set of lips. And so it becomes not only a functional issue, but aesthetic. And if your lips don't function, you can't drink, you can't talk, you tend to drool, and it becomes a social as well as a functional aesthetic issue.
And you mentioned that your approach has been through some clinical trials. How far has it come, and how have the results been so far?
We've completed a phase one clinical trial already with human oral mucosa that we've tissue engineered, and that we had no problems. Phase one is for safety. And then we're doing presently, through funding from the DOD, a phase two, which is efficacy. And so we're trying to increase the keratinized, the callus part of the tissues. And so we're doing a larger, more complex study with that. We're also doing a phase 1/2 clinical trial with large segments of human oral mucosa, I think close to a size of a dollar. And so we're doing that to simulate battlefield injuries, and we're reconstructing the tissue over cancer patients who had free fibula grafts to reconstruct the lower jaw and mandible. And these are going to be precursors to developing the techniques and the regulatory issues to bring in more complex composite tissues, like the lip and the neo-anus I was talking about.
Yeah, that's great. How widespread do you see this approach eventually being? I mean, is this something that you think will be available for all burn victims or all, you know, people who would need this sort of reconstructive surgery? Will this be more available for the military?
No, it's for civilians also. In fact, some of the most advanced technologies come from wars, unfortunately. So there's actually something good that comes out of some of these wars. It helps us with the reconstructive techniques. During World War II, that's where all the flap techniques came from to reconstruct all the injuries as well. So this is definitely germane to the civilian population, traumatic injuries, cancer, congenital deformities.
And you mentioned the lips and the neo-anus. You said in particular that you are working on an animal model of reconstructing human lips. Tell me a little bit about these if you can.
We're not actually reconstructing the lips on the animal. We're using an athymic rat. An athymic rat is an animal that has its immune system compromised so that it can accept human tissue. And what we're doing is we're creating designer flaps in the animal with the tissue that we've made in the laboratory and complexing it with their own muscle to make these muscle cutaneous flaps to reconstruct lips. And within the muscle itself, it'll have its own vascular supply, so we'll be able to transpose the tissue to the face. And at the same time, within the muscle, we're making a stoma, which is an opening that'll simulate the oral opening that's between your lips. And we're going to try to take the nerve with it as well and then do functional testing to show that when the muscle is stimulated, the stoma contracts just like your lips to create a seal. And so we're doing that with some of our colleagues as well.
And I imagine that's very similar to the same sort of mechanisms that would be work in the anal sphincter that you're also working on.
We'll be using a similar technique, maybe a different muscle, in the thigh, the gracilis instead of latissimus dorsi. But if the individual has that injured, then we go back to the latissimus dorsi. The two are very similar in how we're going to fabricate them, but they're going to function differently because your lips function when they constrict to create a seal. Your neoanus or anal sphincter functions when it dilates. So there's little technical issues that we need to work out after we've got it anatomically in place.
And what are some other research avenues that you're working on?
We're actually developing more robust grafts and developing new culturing techniques to cull out cells that are more predictable in fabricating these devices. And also attempting to put them into a means to produce them in high numbers so that we may want to use these, let's say, use them for burns. So we're developing a bioreactor to make these cells available in large numbers. I think the most important thing that people tend to forget is that all the techniques we're using are FDA friendly. So when we construct and put these things together, the leap into the clinic is very short because we've already addressed most of the regulatory issues.
And so the route that you're taking is hopefully going to avoid a lot of that trouble.
Yes, and also we're using the patient's own tissue from punch biopsies. So there'll be no immunosuppressant, no rejection process. And so we hope to supplant face transplants eventually.
Well, all very exciting research. Dr. Feinberg, thank you so much.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
That was Steven Feinberg on new approaches to oral reconstruction. Thanks for listening to the Science Podcast. I'm Carrie Klein. Check back on iTunes, the RSS feed, or the Science site for more podcasts from the meeting.